Section 1. Fast and Frugal. Imagine that I were to ask you to play a very simple gambling game. In front of you are four decks of cards, two of them red and the other two blue. Each card in those four decks either wins you a sum of money or costs you some money, and your job is to turn over cards from any of the decks, one at a time, in such a way that maximizes your winnings. What you don't know at the beginning, however, is that the red decks are a minefield. The rewards are high, but when you lose on the red cards, you lose a lot. Actually, you can win only by taking cards from the blue decks, which offer a nice, steady diet of $50 payouts and modest penalties. The question is, how long will it take you to figure this out? A group of scientists at the University of Iowa did this experiment a few years ago, and what they found is that after we've turned over about 50 cards, most of us start to develop a hunch about what's going on. We don't know why we prefer the blue decks, but we're pretty sure at that point that they are a better bet. After turning over about 80 cards, most of us have figured out the game and can explain exactly why the first two decks are such a bad idea. That much is straightforward. We have some experiences, we think them through, we develop a theory, and then finally, we put two and two together. That's the way learning works. But the Iowa scientists did something else, and this is where the strange part of the experiment begins. They hooked each gambler up to a machine that measured the activity of the sweat glands in their palms. These are glands that respond to stress as well as temperature, which is why we get clammy hands when we are nervous. What the Iowa scientists found is that the gamblers started generating stress responses to the red decks by the 10th card, 40 cards before they were able to say that they had a hunch about what was wrong with those two decks. More important, right around the time their palms started sweating, their behavior began to change as well. They started favoring the blue cards and taking fewer and fewer cards from the red decks. In other words, the gamblers figured the game out before they realized they had figured the game out. They began making the necessary adjustments long before they were consciously aware of what adjustments they were supposed to be making. The Iowa experiment is just that, of course, a simple card game involving a handful of subjects and a stress detector. But it's a very powerful illustration of the way our minds work. Here is a situation where the stakes were high, where things were moving quickly, and where the participants had to make sense of a lot of new and confusing information in a very short time. What does the Iowa experiment tell us? That in those moments, our brain uses two very different strategies to make sense of the situation. The first is the one we're most familiar with. It's the conscious strategy. We think about what we've learned, and eventually we come up with an answer. This strategy is logical and definitive. But it takes us 80 cards to get there. It's slow, and it needs a lot of information. There's a second strategy, though. It operates a lot more quickly. It starts to kick in after 10 cards, and it's really smart because it picks up the problem with the red decks almost immediately. It has the drawback, however, that it operates, at least at first, entirely below the surface of consciousness. It sends its messages through weirdly indirect channels, such as the sweat glands in the palms of our hands. It's a system in which our brain reaches conclusions without immediately telling us that it's reaching conclusions. The second strategy was the path taken by Evelyn Harrison and Thomas Hoving and the Greek scholars. They didn't weigh every conceivable strand of evidence. They considered only what could be gathered in a glance. Their thinking was what the cognitive psychologist Gerd Gigerenzer likes to call fast and frugal. They simply took a look at that statue, and some part of their brain did a series of instant calculations. And before any kind of conscious thought took place, they felt something, just like the sudden prickling of sweat on the palms of the gamblers. For Thomas Hoving, it was the completely inappropriate word fresh that suddenly popped into his head. In the case of Angelos Stellavorius, it was a wave of intuitive repulsion. For Georgios Dantas, it was the feeling that there was a glass between him and the work. Did they know why they knew? Not at all, but they knew.